talk about cities, let me tell you a story. Story about the city of cities, Paris, capital of the 19th century. On March 13, 1856, a Thursday, Baudelaire was woken at 5 in the morning by a huge noise interrupting his dream quest. In the dream, the French poet, who began his literary career championing the paintings of Eugène Delacroix, arrives at a brothel, a whorehouse. Immediately after ringing, he realizes he's naked, his prick hanging out of his pants. Don't worry, I promise there'll be no live performance on stage. He feels it is indecent to present himself this way, even in a place such as this. Not so much because his manhood is there for all to see, but because he's barefoot, too poor to get proper trousers and a pair of shoes. He gets in and offers the madam of this great house of prostitution a gift, a token, a first edition of his recent translation of Edgar Allan Poe's Extraordinary Tales. Better than a one card. Soon he finds himself, and I quote him, in immense galleries adjoining, poorly lit, like the reading rooms of old or squalid gambling dens. Curious and curiouser, the brothel is also a museum, showcasing the advancements of medicine, science, and progress. Even curiouser, he says, a brothel, a museum, and a place financed for a speculation by the 19th century equivalent of what we would now call a media and investment conglomerate. So the brothel museum looked in the dream like a huge, boundless, mnemotechnical architecture, not an edifice, but a stack. Inside it, open up a network of interconnected passages with no exit, like the European Union, according to maniac Brexiteers. This is the architecture of the new. According to Benjamin, the pulsating neural system of lights and goods in which the phantasmagoria of Paris was condensed, while Paris, in turn, was a miniature of the entire planet that would unfold from that moment until this very day and beyond. Following the mainstream reading of Baudelaire and Walter Benjamin, Roberto Calazzo interprets the Brothel Museum as a dreamlike paralogism of the shopping galleries that populated the landscape of the capitals of the world from then onwards. This is, of course, contextually correct. It is appropriate. But let me propose it would be more fitting to our purposes today to see in this huge mnemotechnical architecture, this network, an early image of what Benjamin Bratton has aptly termed the stack, and more specifically, an image of the financial markets of the present and the near future. Indeed, the first characteristic of the Brothel Museum is that of used things, consumed and worn out by use, as Baudelaire puts it, absorbed and subsumed within something else, stacked. Time is perceived, Baudelaire says, not merely through ruins and monuments, but through its corrosive action, the corrosive action of time that sweeps over all things, even the new. But, crucially, in this gambling den, in this house of prostitution, one could arguably bet for or against the future value of all things, beginning with the vanquished bodies of the women therein, but also the promises implicit in the act of gift-giving to the madam of the house, and the contracts set up between prostitutes and clients. Yes, I'm comparing the near futuristic computer-driven world of derivatives trading with a house of prostitution that's also a museum of science and progress, as per Baudelaire's dream. Now let me invite you not to dismiss this provocation as tactless or immoral, but to think of the vanquished and expropriated bodies of the prostitutes as the underliers, which can be sold for a price. Taking account of the corrosive force of time's passage, or predicting its effects, the madam or a pimp may put a value on the bodies of the horse trading sex, in a sense carved up and separated from the underlying body, dismembered, the underlier, dismembered like the bodies of the disappeared and the tortured victims of genocidal plans, now turned into an option that could itself be priced and sold. Wasn't this precisely what Herbert Marcuse and his Frankfurt colleagues had in mind when they proposed to the US prosecutorial team that they should pursue the economic cause, the civilian profiteers behind the genocidal plans executed by the Nazi leadership during the war in the course of the 1945-46 Nuremberg trials? Isn't this precisely the blind spot of the 1948 Universal Declaration of Human Rights and of today's urge to depoliticize human rights? Returning to Baudelaire's dream, if someone can put a value on the future fate of the underlying bodies working in the brothel museum, on disembodied sex, on the debt incurred by the women towards their pimp or madam, taken as a contingent claim, then someone, somebody else, a future client, perhaps Baudelaire himself or his futuristic computerized avatar, could call upon that option to buy sex or debt or whatever can be divided, granulated, and separated from the vanquished body of the prostitutes. If so, the latter can no longer seen, they can no longer be seen as individuals, the undivided legal subjects of rights conjured by the dream of progress and enlightenment, but as individuals whose cut up bits can be recombined, bundled, tokenized, leveraged, and bet for or against by those with the relative security, the capital, the liquidity to do so. In Baudelaire's dream, the walls of the Brothel Museum were covered up with images, lines, and mysterious Egyptian figures. These were a kind of a primer of an almost hieroglyphic language, he says, which made him feel ever more intimidated. Isn't this precisely how most of us feel when confronted by the almost hieroglyphic language of finance? The jargon of put, call, option, derivatives, swaps, and synthetic CDOs? No wonder we worship the risk-taming beasts of Wall Street and Silicon Valley or the City of London, the totem-named masters of the speculative and digital market universe, bulls, bears, vultures, vampires, as if they were pharaohs or a priesthood in possession of some esoteric knowledge. We stand before them and their institutions, also their legal and political institutions, fittingly housed in the brothel museum-like Gothic cathedrals of New York City or the City of London, connected underwater to the Caribbean. Ooh, the pirates, colonization coming back in awe. The same way lay people stood before the Latin-speaking priesthood and the magnificent Gothic cathedrals before the Reformation. Back then, the carved souls of vanquished bodies were sold in the market of indulgences. Add up computers, stochastic models, predictive algorithms, and the carving up and data mining of your innermost bits, and you realize the current situation isn't that different. Our innermost risk potential, carved like cut up words from a lost language, a silenced voice, a broken promise, or a disappeared body can be bundled and bet against. Where do these bodies go? How do we count them, make them count, matter? Perhaps these bits can also be recombined by near future forensic investigators of human rights violations or artists creating objects that stand for the silenced and the dead without absorbing them, but rather in ritual-like mourning work, performatively in search of a different political spirituality and a new way of counting. One that may harness the wealth-creating capacities of derivative logics, their plasmatic electricity, their mana, retroactively legitimating a structure that isn't already coded as male, white, masterful, patriarchal. This would be a new way of adding up the silenced and the dead. like the detectives in David Simon's acclaimed TV series, The Wire.